Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Clever Content, a podcast from Content OD, a content agency based in Sheffield. This is where we talk about content related news, events and other exciting information. Shortly, I'm going to tell you about how I drowned my phone, got lost on a golf course and was rescued by a woman on a horse. And then later, Tom is going to talk about beer, branding and making content for the hell of it. Phil is also here.
We've been rejoined.
I'm incredibly excited about your story.
It's not that exciting, but the reason I'm going to share that story is because I've not had a phone for a month. And, I have. I've had a bad phone for 2 weeks out of that month, or an old phone, not a bad phone, an old phone. Lots of people would be very happy with that phone. But it's an interesting experience, so I thought I would share it. And shall we just do that now?
Do it. Let's dive in.
It's the first on the list, so why not?
Splash.
Indeed. So before I talk about my experience with breaking a phone and then not having one for a bit, I thought I'd put this in the context of an ad campaign that we were all treated to last year. I actually thought it was more recent than this, but turns out it was last October, I think, that this campaign was doing the rounds.
And sure, it stuck with you, though. That's a good campaign, then.
It has stuck with me, but I mean, it's been brought into focus for me by the loss of my own phone, of course. But basically, it's by Three. So Three is what do you call them?
Network. A phone network.
A phone network in the UK. And last year, they ran a campaign which was very simply titled Phones Are Good. But the premise behind it was reimagining pivotal moments in history, imagining that phones were around and how much better things would have been if people in yonder time had phones. So quite a simple idea, but of course it was really to make us think about how we use our phones and, you know, all of the positive things that come from having phones. And this was in the middle of, I think, or at least at the tail end of the Facebook scandals and just a growing feeling, I think, among most people in the Western world that we are all now, you know, addicted to our screens and maybe that's not such a great thing. So in the context of that kind of environment, that's when the Phones Are Good campaign was out. Do you remember this campaign and what did you think at the time?
I don't actually remember this campaign, but discussing it now and reading about it has certainly set the creative juices flowing. I've already decided that we're going to do a project, which is where we rewrite Stig of the Dump, but in Stig of the Dump he has a phone and we're going to see what comes out of it. And I know a copywriter who could do that, or author that could do that. And he's sat opposite me.
Definitely not me. I am not a published author.
Well, thank you for the publicity. This is available in all good bookshops.
I don't remember it, I'll be honest with you, but it's interesting.
You don't remember this campaign?
I really don't, no.
It was a full campaign. There was TV adverts, there were big posters around the street, it was all over social media with promoted content. It was a full-on campaign. No?
No. It's really
nothing.
Well, then forget it. I liked it. I remember stopping and thinking, and that might be because I was also, and maybe I still am, going through my own existential crisis, as I think a lot of people are, about how much I use my phone and whether it's good for me, particularly considering, you know, the changing world in which we live, if I can put it that politely. There's no doubt that we're exposed to, you know, lots of information. Lots of it is not particularly positive. And, you know, your phone is the main window to that kind of content. So it's at the time I remember thinking, you know what, that's actually quite a good reminder that phones are actually quite useful and they can be used for lots of good things. And maybe I should check my privilege, if that's the right phrase or the right time to use that, in the fact that I'm able to afford a phone and to use one and all that kind of thing. It gives me many advantages rather than just complaining about it all the time.
So what have you learned in your month of not having the phone that you had before? Is there anything that you're going to change now after that experience?
I might change a few things. I expected to have some kind of revelation that this was going to be life-changing for me and I would actually, not that I would never have a phone again, but that I would at least potentially change my behaviour significantly. And I think maybe I will change my behaviour, but it has, on the whole, I found not having a phone a bit annoying, which kind of surprised me.
Was there anything, to bring it kind of back to content, anything content-wise that you missed through that experience?
So the main thing that I learned, so I took my phone into the sea. error number one.
Did you think it was waterproof?
Not only did I think it was waterproof, I felt that Apple's advertising suggests that their phones are, to a degree, waterproof. Or resistant. In their words, water resistant. 2 meters for 30 minutes. And right. I thought, well, you know.
So I just need a bit more specific. I need a bit more detail. So when you say you took it in the sea, I've got this image of you walking into the sea, holding the phone in your hand above your head to take pictures or do some video from in the sea. Is that the case?
I took it in to take some pictures and it was very shallow. So it was just when I wasn't taking pictures, it was in my shorts. It was in my pocket, in my
underwater
shorts.
Underwater, in your shorts?
No, it was shallow enough that I was physically out of the water,
okay.
Primarily, as was the phone.
I can sense impending doom.
What I didn't anticipate was a very unexpected side attack from a six-year-old. And much like a wrestler, it sent me down onto one knee, happened to be the knee with the pocket in. And then I was straight back up. I just popped back up like Hulk Hogan. But unfortunately, the phone was dunked. So basically, I dunked my phone.
The phone had taken a three count.
Exactly. Not even a three count, Phil. It was less than a second that it was underwater for, but it was immediately a problem. And it kind of instantly died.
Cue sound effect.
So that's what happened. So if you forget all of the problems I've had with insurance and that kind of thing, it was my first day. It was a 2-week holiday in Denmark. It was my first day. And I kind of thought, well, you know, we'll sort this out when we get home. This is no big deal. Maybe this is what I needed. I needed to have this experience. And to go back to your earlier question, what I actually found was that I had like an iPad with me on holiday, and you know, my wife had her phone. So if I wanted to know something, then I could still go and get it. And when the kids went to bed at the end of the day, I would use the iPad. I would, you know, check emails and just make sure everything was, you know, running smoothly. So, but the biggest difference was that was a quite a conscious decision. And so I was consciously checking stuff on the iPad, and then I would do whatever I needed to do, and then I would stop, and it would last, you know, 15, 20 minutes. It wasn't like I was on the iPad for like 3 or 4 hours. And, you know, I wouldn't have been on my phone for 3 or 4 hours, but I think that I would have been using it more. I would certainly have been checking it on a regular basis. The phone would have been near me. It would have been visible. It wouldn't have been in a bag somewhere. It would have been like on the, you know, as phones are, they would have been with me. So I would have been checking it. But what I realized was that even though when I get those messages normally, it's not like I go, all right, must check what that is. You know, I quite often just leave them, let them pile up. But quite often what I'll do is when I do check, if I, you know, check an email that comes in, it's not hard to go from there to, I just wonder what's happening in the news or on Twitter. And so before you know it, 10 minutes have gone. And 10 minutes doesn't sound like much, but, you know, they build up. I think the biggest revelation for me, if I had one at all, was that idea that an important change might be to go to the content rather than let it come to you all the time and then find yourself going off in different directions. So that was one thing. But most of my reason for finding it annoying was just utility. And I'll come on to why I think that's important and going back to the three campaign in a second. But just being able to do really simple stuff, like the most common things that phones are useful for, the things that we actually do with them, those are the things I missed. So let's start with maps and getting lost. On, I think, the second day of the holiday, I went for a run. We were there with our relatives and my brother-in-law, I guess. He's my brother-in-law. We went a run together, a little 5-kilometer run around the golf course right next to their house. More or less a straightforward loop, apart from in the middle, you take a left turn. And I'd memorized this. I thought, this is a very simple route. I'm going to do this later in the week. Of course, later in the week, I didn't have a phone. And somebody said to me before I left, do you want to take my phone just in case you need to know where you're going? I said, no, I don't need that. I've memorized it like in the good old days. And so I went a run and I took the left turn. I got to the road, which would lead me back to their house. And then I thought, this is not the same road. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. No problem. I'm just going to trace my steps back, go exactly the same route back, and I'll get back to the house. I won't do a loop. I'll just go so far and then I'll return on the same route. Got back to the turning point, which now looked a lot like a kind of a five-forked road. And I tried every single one of those paths and I could not get home. I just had no idea. So my 5K run, I think, I didn't have anything to measure this with, but I think I did well over 10K. I was absolutely exhausted by the end of it, just desperately trying to escape this golf course. And I got to a point where I just thought, I'm going to have to ask somebody. And then a kind woman on a horse came past and I said to her, do you speak English? She says, a little. And I said, I'm lost. And she went, oh no. And so she very kindly let me use her phone, and I rang and I had to get rescued. Turns out I'd actually run past the end of the road twice, and I'm an idiot, which I think by that point I'd already established.
Interestingly, though, you knew some numbers, some people's phone numbers.
I knew my wife's phone number off by heart. Yes. I think that's just a basic
useful skill to have.
It's a useful skill to have in a marriage, I think.
There are a few numbers that I know, and that's the same.
Yeah.
My wife's is one of them. What about you, Tom? Do you know anybody's phone numbers?
I know my parents' mobile phone number, but that's about it. And that's only because they've had the same phone number since like the dawn of time. So, you know, when you had to actually remember numbers, those numbers still exist. Everyone else seems to have changed since then, and there's been no need to remember them. So I don't know my partner's number, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, in case you ever get lost on a golf course, you should probably
memorize it.
Get that into the old brain box. And so, you know, I didn't have, I usually would have, if I had my phone with me, then I would have just, you know, I'd probably have used, I don't know, Strava or something like that, or I would have, you know, I'd have certainly been able to find my way back.
Maps
would have been really useful in
that.
That's
what you love about
time.
Your phone. What else?
And the other thing really is photos. I mean, I happen to be on holiday, so you know, you're taking extra photos when you're on holiday anyway. But I just, we take for granted that we'll walk around with not just cameras, but actually fantastic cameras in our pockets all the time. Yeah. And it's just an extremely useful.
I tried to explain to my kids who are 7, 5, and 1, how we could only take 24 or 27 pictures based on the capacity of the film that was in there, and you couldn't delete them and you couldn't see what you'd taken, and the concept just was like straight over the top of their heads.
We've not been using phones, have not been ubiquitous for that long,
no,
but already I think we're just taking these kinds of things for granted. The phone that I used when I got back was an old phone that we'd had. It was an iPhone 5C, baby blue color. It's a classic. Anyway, the unit that we have, the reason we don't use it anymore, or the reason it got changed, was because the clock doesn't work. I know that sounds insane, but the actual clock, there is, apparently it's a known thing, there is no way of making it the right time on this particular phone. And I quickly realised how much I rely on my phone for telling the time, especially when I got back and I had to go back to work and start going to meetings and all that kind of thing. Because the clock doesn't work, the calendar doesn't work as well, because he has no idea what day it is, this particular phone. And so, so as you two know, this month has been a kind of a scheduling hell for me. I've been getting all sorts of things
when
wrong.
When will Ian arrive?
Yeah.
We do not know.
When will he arrive?
Will he stay for the whole day?
For goodness sake, when will he leave? And so it's a really simple thing, having the calendar on your phone, and you know, the notifications. That's when notifications are useful. You know, when do the bins go out? That kind of thing.
So what we're saying is you lost the ability to navigate, tell time, and organise your life.
Yes.
I'm going to summarise this as you need a phone.
And record it.
Bit of yeah. You badly need a phone in your life.
And so my point is, you're right. Yes, those are the things that I missed. And I think those are the things that we take for granted. And so in this world where we talk about phones as being about contents and about, you know, social media and how much we use them for those kinds of things. I think that Three's campaign, I liked it at the time and I like it even more now. And I actually think that they could have gone further.
They could revisit it.
They could, well, maybe
these
they'll
recommendations.
Listen to, maybe they'll listen to this show and get in touch. Yeah, obviously they had the angle of showing historical events and how they might have been different. So yes, obviously that's a fun way of doing it. But I think all of these things that we take for granted are actually really fantastic selling points for modern technology as a whole. Yeah. What do they actually let you do? And even Apple, so the new iPhones are presumably coming out next month, and it'll all be about like the shiny new features. The cameras will be just this much better. There'll be an extra lens probably, and the design might change. And we focus on all of these things. Very rarely do you will never see, I don't think, an Apple ad or even a Samsung ad that says you can tell the time with the phone.
It could just be an image of you in a field talking to a Danish person on a horse, pulling out a Nokia 3310 and just pointing at it with no map.
Exactly, she would
do the job.
She was very helpful. She was literally a Great Dane.
Terrible.
Thank you. I'm really trying to sort of shoehorn my own little angle on this. I just think the benefits of the simple things and just plain English, telling it like it is. Here's a phone. You've got a calendar on it. We didn't used to have calendars. Calendars never existed before phones. That's not true.
All the time.
So, yeah, that's...
So phones are good.
So I think phones are good. I think Three's campaign campaign was good, and it just made me think about just the way that we produce content, and we're always looking for the shiny and new thing to try and sell stuff. And actually, just basic utility sometimes is worth reminding. It's worth reminding people of those kinds of things. Yeah.
I think in terms of my phone, I think the productivity folder that I've got is probably the one with the most apps in it. So it is the functional things I really do get a lot of use out of. So I think I'd probably have to agree. You've persuaded me. Yeah. Thanks, Ian.
So when I got the iPhone 5C, I could install WhatsApp, although for some reason it never gave me any notifications no matter what I tried. And I did reinstall, I think, Twitter, but because the clock didn't work, every time I went to load it, it would ask me to reset the clock, so I would do just manually, just tell it that it was this time, then it would never catch up, it would just disappear. Oh. So I had restricted access, and I just never bothered with Instagram. I just thought, it's not going to handle that. All those images. So I just didn't have those things, and I didn't really miss them.
Did you check Instagram on the iPad of an evening?
No. I checked it on the laptop a couple of times, but only because I wanted to find something specific for work related reasons.
And I suppose if you're not taking pictures, because you're quite an avid Instagrammer, you put some good pictures on there.
Thanks, Phil.
You're welcome. So I just wondered if that's probably the lacking of a good camera function on the phone.
Just the final point. Did you notice that I was gone?
No.
Did you notice I was gone, Tom?
No.
Not posted to Instagram for a month. People I know in real life, sat in front of them now, don't care. No one cares.
I mean,
that's why they're changing the likes function and whatnot.
Could be. But more seriously, no one really cares. And I think we get so caught up about, if we're not posting regularly on social media, then we won't get people coming to our website, or we'll lose momentum, and I need to be on social media for work and that kind of thing. That feeling that we need to catch up all the time, or we need to be present all the time. People don't care. They really don't. If they're your friends in real life, then they'll miss you, and YouTube chose not to. Some people might get to say, you're all right, you've not posted for a while. You can take a break and things will be fine, is what I'm trying
to
say.
And I think that also, I mean, we talked about it with previous episode where brands decided to leave social media or leave certain channels. Yeah. It's on a kind of content campaign front. It just exemplifies the importance of choosing your channels carefully. And working out where your audiences are, doesn't it? Bring it back around to work.
To be fair, we should revisit, see if it's had any impact whatsoever on their profits.
Yeah.
Not being on, was it all social media or was it Twitter? I can't remember. I think it was all of it.
I think it was all social media accounts.
Most people did 6 months ago now.
So. Yeah. And the shift towards using influencers, wasn't it?
Yeah. So.
Tom, talk to us about beer and branding.
Yeah, two of my favourite subjects. So there is a new project, and it's a collaborative effort between, I read it out, lead design agency Studio.Build. They've teamed up with furniture maker Play Workshop and designer James Ockleford from Refold and North Brewing Company. So they've got together and they've launched an experiential beer which challenges the boundaries of how beer, art and music interplay with their natural surroundings.
Wow, agency speak, doesn't it?
It's big and bold. So the beer and design work takes cues from West Yorkshire forests, with everything from the packaging, promotional materials and the beer itself being inspired by the outdoors. There's accompanying photography, which also features on specially produced vinyl records. And there's also a 14-track compilation tape, which be released, including tracks contributed to the project by different musicians. So the reason I sort of wanted to talk about this was that I just think I probably know the answer, but it's interesting to see companies from very different backgrounds. We've got a furniture maker, or designer, sorry, a brewer, and a graphic designer collaborating on essentially what was a project to make a beer, which I assume evolved into more as they got more into it, or as there seemed to be more scope to create a wider campaign around the beer. So yeah, I think there's probably two things to talk about. One is what we all feel is the value of creating campaigns that are, on the face of it, I'm going to use the word self-absorbed, PR-y, because everyone does it. I've done it. We've all done projects that are designed to get your name out there, whether or not North Brew and those brands being the brands they might be would agree that's what they're doing. I don't know. And also, I have a slight sort of frustration. I could be proved wrong. This might be part of it, but I couldn't find it earlier. But there seems to be a big missed trick in not having some sort of element which gives back to, the woodlands and the areas that inspired it and gave it.
Yeah, that's a nice point, yeah.
So they're presumably going to make some money out of it. Again, I could be proved wrong. Maybe it's just for creativity for the sake of it so people can enjoy it. But, if there is money to be made for it, it would have been nice to see, we're giving 10% of profits back to the Woodlands Trust or something like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
So my question for either of you would be, what do you think the value is in sort of creating a project for, let's put it for like, say an agency was creating a project for itself, just doing something fun to get their name out there. Got to be value in it, right?
Yeah, I've had a very quick look at this purely on the Creative Review website. So it's purely from this article. And do you know what? I'm just left with one question. Does the beer taste nice? Because to me...
There's very little mention of what the beer
is. There is very little mention of it. Does the beer taste nice? Because it's a nice concept. I like that it's kind of holistic and it's connected. And I kind of get it, but I want to taste the beer. And I want to know what that tastes like. And when I actually look at the... I'm just looking at the actual can branding as well. I can't, I'm revisiting it now with that question in mind. I can't actually tell straight away, is it an IPA?
It's a West Yorkshire IPA.
Is it?
WYIPA, yeah.
So it's not a lager, it's not a kind of porter or a bitter or a stout or a...
North Beer and their branding has always been very sort of stripped back.
Yeah.
So you're never really going to tell too much from the design. But yeah, it's maybe we're the wrong people for it. I mean, I think we're all very much into beer here. I'm quite heavily into beer and beer art. But are we the wrong market? Like, I'm not interested in going to the tap room and picking up a vinyl.
I hope not. We're a digital agency, content agency. You've got a passion for beer. I've made a bloody documentary about real ale. So I think we're well qualified to comment on it. And yeah, it's...
I don't want to be too down on it, because obviously it's nice that people make nice things for the sake of niceness. That's a lot of niceness.
It is very nice.
But yeah, I remember when it was first shared here, my overriding feeling, even though I read about 3 or 4 different versions of the story, I shrugged my shoulders there for people who don't. Yeah. Obviously can't hear me doing that.
I don't think I'll be... sitting down with one of these cans, putting the record on, having a drink of the beer, and listening to the sounds of the forest.
The track, a cassette.
Yeah. I really don't. But in order to get eyes on and to build brand awareness, yeah, I think they've done all right. I think it's a good concept.
Who has a tape player as well? Seriously.
It's a vinyl, isn't it?
No, there's a 14 track compilation tape to be released alongside it.
Well, you say that, Tom, but I've got one right opposite you on the shelf.
One behind Ian, isn't there?
Yeah. So we are the
most...
We will try it. And, and you'll have to get one and put it on your Instagram channel as well.
Yeah. Well, I will probably do that, because it is, from a design point of view, I guess it is.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Ian?
Well, I'm going to say I'm mostly all for this kind of thing. I reckon that when you work in an agency, then you are bound by client work, primarily. And I always think it's really valuable if you can put some percentage of your staff's time to one side for either personal projects or to do something just as you described, just kind of for the sake of doing it, just for the going through the process of putting something together. So there could be lots of things that have gone into putting this campaign together, or even like working with different disciplines that actually could really transfer well to kind of agency life and working on client-side projects. So I do think that this idea of creating something for the sake of it can have like really positive effect on the stuff that you do for clients. The other side of that is I'm always quite conscious with things that could be considered side projects. You are doing client work at the same time, so it can be very hard. And we have to bear in mind we're saying all this whilst doing a podcast, which is is like an agency podcast, effectively
self-absorbed.
some might say so. You know, we do have to be aware of that. But if we do take that comparison, there are lots of reasons that we didn't just say, oh, let's do a podcast for the sake of it. You know, we talked about why and what it might be, who it might be for, and why we might be doing it in the first place. And I'm sure that that's what went into this project too. But I'm always quite conscious that when you do something that is effectively a side project, and you know, if it's in the news like this and it's a big thing, that your clients are going to see that. So they could react in one of two ways. They could go, wow, that's an amazing thing. That sounds fantastic. Tell us more. Is that something you could do for us? And I think that is most of the reaction that you would get from a client. But I do also sometimes think if you're behind on a project, or if there is if there's been like a snafu or a snag with the work you're doing for them, which just happens, like that's just a normal thing that always happens. How does it look if you've got this other stuff that you're doing which is very public and it isn't for them when things aren't necessarily going exactly to plan on the project? So that's all very hypothetical, but in general, I'm all for it. I do think this particular project is. It does sound, like you said, a bit agency. There's a bit of agency speak with the copywriting, which I'm generally against. But, you know, it's quite an exclusive thing. But maybe that's part of the positioning. I've definitely worked in agencies in the past where the positioning of the agency was to be high-end exclusive. We only work with, you know, very, I was going to say high level, but I think that's the wrong phrase, but big clients, let's say. And yeah, I could totally have imagined us doing this sort of thing for a very limited audience, and that it really did sort of seem to be something that was created for the sake of creating it.
Maybe we should approach Abbeydale Brewery and do a Sounds of Park Hill brew.
Hey, there's an idea for you.
A 14-track mini disc of office sounds to accompany it.
I think we're stealing their studio built idea though, there, aren't we? There's another issue with this, or question around it as well, and that is, for me, it just shows how far the craft beer industry has come. In fact, I mean, when it started, nobody was calling it the craft beer industry. They were calling it the real ale industry. I'm going back 10 years now.
Oh, you're starting a whole debate there about what craft and what the difference is.
Well, exactly. I mentioned lager, whether it was lager or not. And, you know, you didn't never mention that as part of the real ale renaissance.
R.I.P. our Twitter mentions.
But it shows where the craft beer industry is going and how it has become branded. And what they're doing and what they're saying is actually correct. It's a very crowded space now. So you need to do things that are original to stand out. Or are going to grab people's attention beyond just the design of the can. Or
there's definitely a strong sense of collaboration in the craft beer scene. Like whether that be them brewing with each other or doing things like this, working with designers or local illustrators, and there's all sorts going on. Yeah, you are right. I think it is possibly we're seeing it because they're striving to
it's
stay relevant and stay on top. There's just so many breweries.
It's one step further, and that's why they've got good PR out of it. In terms of the agency, I'm sure they'll be putting a big tick alongside this project.
There we go.
But we still don't know what it tastes like.
Well,
maybe we'll go to the...
Trying to get instead of some beer.
I'll go to the beer review sites.
Marvellous. Well, that's that put to bed. That's it. If you want to subscribe to this show, which is very highly recommended by many people, particularly in this room, you'll never miss a show again. You can do that in Apple Podcasts or whichever app takes your particular fancy. And send us your feedback if there's something that you would like us to talk about. We can accept those suggestions too, and maybe we'll discuss them in future episodes.
The newsletter, the content ID newsletter, goes out once a week, full of all wonderful content links that we as a team find. It's very simple. It's a big list of links with how long it takes to read them. Occasionally, we put our podcast in there. It comes once a week.
Yeah, it's a good subscribe. way of getting reminders for when the new podcast is out. Tom, where would I go if I wanted to?
To subscribe?
Mm.
You would go to the Content OD website.
What's the web address?
It's contentod.co.uk, I believe. If you scroll to the bottom of the page, you'll find a very large sign-up form.
That's true. And
Or check our social media channels, because we talk about it quite a bit.
That's true. All of this is true. And we'll say this all again next time around. See you later.
Cheers.
Bye.